5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, so Farrell on the bench on a thirsty Thursday. Now I'm on the Rockets and Heat, 52-40 Heat in the second, 2:40 left and rolling. And Jalen Green's got 12. I'm just watching a little preseason. It's bizarre seeing Lowry play with the Heat, right? And no longer in Toronto. To see Lowry on the Miami Heat is a trip. It is what it is. So anyway, we're watching this NFL game as well. They're in a timeout. Now back on a field with an injury. 23-14. 3:23 left in the game. The Seahawks have the ball. An injured player on the field. Here's the story. Your boy Russell Wilson injured his finger. And his middle finger on his throwing hand. And he's been out of the game. Geno Smith came in the game. The first time he got the ball, he went 99 yards for a touchdown. He threw like four or five in a row complete and threw a touchdown to Metcalf. And then now the Rams marched right down the field and scored quickly. That's where the score stands now. The Rams scored. Now Seattle has the ball. They're moving. The ball, again, was Smith at the helm. Wilson never came back in the game. Looks like he broke his finger, dislocated it, did something. It was definitely mangled. So, remember, I was laying 2.5 in this game. When it opened, I got it at 1.5, though, Mafia. As you know, when it opened, the Rams were 1.5, and that's what I got it at. So, I need them to win by 2. That's all I know.
Scott, that's not been good for the NFL on these Thursday night games either. You know, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, you know, we're in week 5. You have this one with Russell Wilson messing up his finger. You had the one with the Giants Washington where the guy broke his leg on that Washington football, you know, team field the same way that Smith did, the compound fracture. You had CMC hurt himself, the hammy, you know, against Houston on the Thursday night game, right? Like, all the talk about how over the years, you know, these guys get banged up because they don't have time to rest and recover. It's looking like it so far these first 5 weeks of this season.
Yeah, like every week somebody's getting injured. It's that simple. So anyway, what's weird is that I've been, you know, hot as hell hitting Monday night games. And then Thursday nights, I've been able to hit the money line, but not the spread. So I don't even frankly care who's getting injured. I just care about hitting bets. I need to hit this bet tonight.
And, yeah, we need them to not score it, because you know if they score and get it within 23-21, the Rams are just sitting on that ball. They're not going to try to score again.
That's right. But 23-21, if that's what it ends at, I cover, because I laid 1.5. I don't care about the 2.5, 3 that everybody else had to deal with. You know I got that at 1.5 when a line opened up. So that guy looked like he got jacked by his own player. So here he is again, Smith. He's moved the ball down the field, and they're in the red zone at the 16 or at the 14-yard line of the Rams. Unbelievable. Unbelievable to me. There he is thrown into the end zone. Looks like he's got a touchdown. He dropped it. He threw it to Lockett. It was a good pass. I thought he should have had it. I think the guy knocked it away. But I got to tell you, Smith has played brilliant. He's thrown for a 118. He's been dead on tonight. The guy came in the game. You got to give him credit. He came in the game. Guy hasn't done jack in 4 years, and he came in the game tonight, and he has absolutely been on fire. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces. Hoorah, soldier. Anyway, here he is on 2nd and 10. They can't get to him. He's had all kinds of time. He threw that into the ground. Now it's going to be 3rd and 10. I don't even care. He's going to go for it on 4th, too. It's 4-down territory, son. I can tell you that much. By the way, I hit with Coastal Carolina tonight and the cover. And then I hit with Houston, the Cougs, with the 40-22 win over Tulane and the cover to win and land 4.5. Coastal to win. They were laying 20 and a hook. I laid 17 and a hook when it opened up. So a 4-0 night in betting in college football. I got the Rays going. I've hit some prop bets. Here's 3rd down. Oh, they got him. No, he breaks free again. This guy is like a wizard. Now he's going to throw it in the end zone. Nobody home. No flags. 4th and 10. Ball game on the line here. You know what they need to do is blitz his ass and put him on the ground. Nobody was open. They were running into each other in the end zone. Once again, Geno Smith broke free. He was in trouble, and then he wasn't. He got free and got the pass off. Oh, they're going to kick a field goal here. That's their choice. And try to stop him. Myers already missed one from 35. He's not going to miss one again, is he? Here's the kick. He makes it. 23-17. So they're going to hope to get the ball back and beat him.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid. You can always go downtown.
Hey, babe, you want to go out?
Scour the sidewalks. Find a penny and pick it up. Or you can get the winning edge
right here.
And you won't get Tomey. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, so here you go. The Seahawks are calling timeouts left and right because they kicked a field goal and kicked off to the Rams. The Rams, Henderson ran for a first down on the first play. They called a timeout. Then that's 1st and 10 again. He runs, gains nothing. They call a 2nd timeout. Now it's 2nd and 10. And Seattle has 1 timeout left and the 2-minute warning. And they got to stop them. If the Rams get another first down, it's basically all over but the shouting. It's 2nd and 10 now. They've been able to move the ball on Seattle for the most part, but they're running it now. They're not taking any chances at all. So you know they're going to give the ball back to them. They just – it's unbelievable to me that they don't take a chance. I mean, get a first down and end the game. Instead, they're going to run it up the effing middle, and they're going to kick the ball to them and give Geno Smith one more crack at it. Because, of course they are. Of course this game's going to come down to the last second and a last play. I'm sure from the, 10-yard line. I mean, you know he's going to get the ball back and move it down. Can you just feel it coming, Mafia?
Of course, because that's what the NFL wants. Because when they're kicking the field goal, like, really, you're kicking a field goal? You need a touchdown? And then, well, of course, because they know they're going to get the ball back because the NFL works that way. All these games, they just mess with us. They just set it up just to break our hearts.
And then the Seahawks will score and win by one.
Right, and again, they had no business winning.
No business winning and no one hit by one. They're not even going to take a chance here. Because they're wussies. You got to be kidding me, dude. They just did whatever they wanted this entire second half with the ball, and now they're getting boring, and now they're getting conservative. No chances, not taking a chance. Now they're taking a delay of game penalty. Jesus H, you got to be kidding me. I mean,
who does that on third down?
What are you doing? Oh, they got it's a like timeout fourth, in.
All right, I was going to say, if it's like timeout. Fourth and three, you do that mess with them, you know, around midfield, try to get them to draw off. But third and eight, that does nothing for you.
Well, they threw the flag, and that's what threw us off. But there was no flag. They called timeout. So once again, the refs screw it up. So third and eight. Rams have a timeout left. Seattle has none left. All they have is the two-minute warning. The whole game rides on this play. Would you go for it, Mafia? Would you throw it?
Yes. You got to throw something here because if you're going to punt, you're going to punt. You're not going to get that on the run. They're spread out wide. They're going for it.
Here we go. Oh, it's knocked down at the line. Of course it is. I mean, of course it is. It's like this game is fixed. You can't even argue with it. It's just unbelievable. So they move down the field 80 yards in two plays, but now they can't get 1 yard. I mean, it is unbelievable. This is like, it's just automatic what's going to happen now, isn't it? You know they're going to punt the ball and he's going to score and they're going to lose by one.
That's what it's feeling
There's
like for sure.
Plenty of time left. They got all the time in the world to score. Oh, my God. You got to be kidding me.
You got to block the punt, too.
I mean, this makes me sick to my stomach watching this. You know what's coming. Tampa won that game 5-0 over the Red Sox. Screw Boston. 6 ways till Sunday. How'd that taste? And that's just the beginning of your problems. They're not going anywhere against that team. So now you're going to see this game get real interesting real fast. You know this game is cut out for a last-second play to win the game. A game that should be in the bag already, done. They should be on the bus getting done with their showers. This game should be over with an automatic W, and it'd be 4-1 Rams. Instead, they're going to give this guy, Geno Smith, a chance to win the game. It's unbelievable to me. It really is. Picked off. Game over. Take that. How's that taste? Flags on the play, though. Look, flags on the play. They're going to give him another chance. There's flags on the play. Watch. They're going to get him for pass interference.
Oh, what a stupid play. What are you doing, you idiot?
Oh, my God. You have got to be kidding me. This is unbelievable. This is truly unbelievable. So, no, they're not calling a flag. No flag. That's it. Wow. He's off the field, Smith. It's game over.
They got away with that one. That was just a dumb play, knocking the guy down as he's going across the middle of the field there to set up the pick, and they don't call it.
It looks to me like he tripped on his own. He tripped on his own. He ran into him. Aikman just said it. He tripped up on his own. He may have been bumped, but then his foot hit him. He got bumped up top, which was nothing, and then he tripped on his foot. So I think he did it to himself. And that's lights out.
So there's a Geno Smith I knew in New York.
What's that?
So there's the Geno Smith I knew in New York.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say one last thing. Rams to win and laying 1.5 with the double cover. PharrellOnTheBench.com, baby. That's what's up. Making people money. Hide the money from your wife. She'll be buying a Fendi bag with that money. You don't hide that money, son. Got to get it done. Geno Smith, I thought, looked great tonight. Everybody's telling him what a great job he did on the Seattle sideline in their ugly-ass green unis. I don't know what those things are. That Aquaman look. I don't know what they got going there. But this game is toast.
Those highlighter jerseys.
Highlighter. You got that right. Stafford.
They took the play at Oregon to wear jerseys like that.
You got to admit the game was better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, way better. I thought it would be like a shootout in the beginning with both the offenses, you know, putting up points and then LA, you know, pulling away in the second half and getting some stops against Wilson. I didn't expect him to go out, them to be tight, you know, like no scoring the first half, it to be tight the whole way, and him to go out and somehow Geno Smith to breathe life into him and bring him back.
I had a great night tonight, Mafia, betting in everything, even hockey. Oh, by the way, the Devils Islander game got canceled. What happened, Mafia?
There was a power outage at the Rock. Apparently, not a full-on power outage, but like one of the scoreboards went out, some of the lights went out, so they just, instead of trying to wait for it to get fixed and start it up, they just said, forget it, we're not doing it.
Preseason game doesn't even matter.
So well, that's what you think, except they play overtime in all these games. I'm amazed, like, how much are you risking these guys' health playing overtime in preseason? Just call it time, be done.
I agree with you. I hit the Red Wings tonight over the Penguins. That was beautiful. I know I've been watching that Arizona-Vegas game, but I kind of got off of it. I'll turn it on now when this game ends. But this game is over, so what's the point of watching it? They're going to win 23-17. That's that. Unless something crazy happens, which could happen, I guess. There could be a fumble or something, an 80-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown. What do you think, Mafia? You think you got a chance for that?
No.
No. All right, so when we come back, we'll talk to Joe Lisi about his college football snags and see if Mafia agrees with any of the big games. And then we'll see if I agree with any of him on the big games. It's all happening on Pharrell on the Bench. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
The game that'll never end. Geno Smith still taking cracks with 18 seconds left deep in their own end after they kicked the gay field goal, made it 26-17 Rams. 18 seconds left. They're up. Seattle still has the ball deep in their own end, 25-yard line. The game will never end. I mean, they had three timeouts and the two-minute warning, and they've run 50 plays. I mean, it is unbelievable. How long is this game going to take? I mean, just honest to Christ, end this game already. I mean, it is unbelievable. Now a flag, the game that'll never end. Oh, my God. It's just torture watching an NFL game. I have gone. I went to the Chiefs game. We got Joe Lisi. Go for the two. Joe, jump on board here. I went to the Chiefs-Eagles game, and I mean, I had four birthdays at that game. It took so long to play that game with all the TV timeouts, team timeouts, injury timeouts. And I mean, it is just, you know, the funny thing is it's like a four-hour experience, but it really is. It seems like 6 hours the way they just never run plays. They're always just standing around on the field, the players, doing nothing. And because, you know, when they call a TV timeout or a timeout or anything, they don't do anything. They just stand there. And, you know, the stadium runs commercials and they run cheerleaders dancing and everything else. And it is amazing. I go to the Steeler game, same thing. It's like the longest yard sitting through an NFL game live at the experience. And when you watch it on TV, you don't get the same feel because you have to suffer through the commercials themselves. But being at the game, they don't, you don't see that. So you're just watching players standing there picking their nose, and the game never ends. It's unbelievable, Joe.
I can't disagree with that. It's amazing. I'm watching this game too. I'm like, can we just end it already? It's unbelievable. And I'm like, you know, they're getting paid so much money. Could they run a few more plays in between? I'm with you 100% with this. But NFL football is completely boring in that regard. That's why I like the college game. It's faster. I hate to say it, but it's true. They run up tempo every play. And even though they stop the clock, at least they're running plays. You run 90 plays. The NFL runs like 50 plays a game. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And I will say, I have nothing but respect for the Eagles cheerleaders. I wanted to sleep with all of them at the same time. And, you know, that's a fantastic thing that I was watching at the game. And that was better than the game itself. Although Mahomes throwing 5 touchdown passes was fantastic. I was sitting on a 50-yard line, 18 rows from the field, and it was just awesome watching that guy dissect the Eagles defense and just cut through them like butter. It was unbelievable. So tonight, Joe, I hit the Rams and the spread, Rams to win, and laid the points. Double cover there. And then in college, I hit Coastal Carolina and laid the points, double cover there. And I had Houston and laid the points, 4.5 and double cover there. Last Friday night, you were on, I think, and I hit Houston Tulsa, cover, Iowa over Maryland, double cover, BYU over Utah State, double cover. So I have been on fire in these pre-Saturday games. And tonight, again, the same thing. How did you do with the Coastal game and the Houston game? Did you ride it?
I didn't bet the Coastal game. I bet Tulsa, Tulane plus the 4.5 and 6.5. So I lost that. And then that's all I played tonight was the Tulane game. I was out. I was running around. I did Tulane, and then I'm locked in, obviously, for the weekend already. I didn't play Coastal. I didn't like that game. We talked about it today. I didn't have a good feel about Coastal or Arkansas State. I was inclined to take Arkansas State with the points just because I go against the grain, but their defense was atrocious, so I didn't play that game tonight.
All right, let's get into Friday's two games because two ranked teams are playing. Temple and Cincinnati at Cincinnati. Of course, we all know what happened with Cincinnati and Notre Dame. I hit the game in South Bend. I took the Bearcats. I laid the 2 points, and they won the game outright. I was impressed with Ritter. I thought he got the job done. Here they are laying 29 to Temple, who upset Memphis last week in Philadelphia. They kicked their ass. Do you think giving Temple that many points is too much?
Well, I think they have to give that many points because they have to showcase out the rest of the way. It's no more just winning games. They have to do it in dominating style. So that's why I think it's over 4 touchdowns right now. I'm inclined to take the 29.5, but Temple's defense is terrible. And I think Cincinnati's going to wear them down. I'm like flip-flopping on this game a little bit because the emotional letdown, obviously after getting the biggest win in school history, now they come back home to Temple, you're going to get Temple's best shot. They have nothing to lose. So it's hard. I mean, I would still take the 29.5. I see this game in the area maybe 21 late. It might be on the number all night. And, you know, so I would take the Owls with that. Total, I would lean to the over in this ball game, though. 53.5.
Stanford and Arizona State in Tempe. And, you know, I saw it as high as 13.5 today. With Stanford getting those points. I got to tell you, Joe, Stanford continues to amaze me. They get no respect at all. They got a great call against Oregon. I'll give you that. They should have never won that game, but they did. And 31-24 in overtime. And then, of course, they lost to UCLA, but, you know, they beat USC. Which team am I supposed to believe they are? The team that got whacked by Kansas State, the team that got beat by UCLA or the team that, you know, beat USC and beat Oregon? Who are they? Are they going to cover that 13 and a hook?
No, I don't think they are. I think the problem with Stanford is they traditionally struggle with speed teams, and you have potentially the best quarterback in the conference in Jaden Daniels. I like Arizona State in this spot. Don't like Herm Edwards. I know David Shaw. He's playing up with this team. I don't think they're very good to begin with. That's why their win total was set at 4. And I still think they're one-dimensional. So I think if they fall behind in this game, it could be lights out. They won Oregon because they jumped up early, were able to run the football. I don't think that happens tonight, tomorrow night. I think Arizona State catches them at the perfect time. I think they cover that number fairly easy tomorrow.
Arizona State's been kicking everybody's ass. They kicked UCLA's ass at the Rose Bowl last week, 42-23. Before that, in Tempe, they whacked Colorado. The only team they lost to was BYU, and BYU beat them by 10. I've been high
on BYU. They had that game, too. They had that game. They just, the kid fumbled the football running into the end zone, remember?
Yeah. But I've been hitting games with BYU left and right. Even the game that South Florida played against them, I covered South Florida at the other end of that game. That was a good cover. But BYU's been winning left and right. All right, let's go to Saturday.
Okay.
Notre Dame under the lights at Blacksburg against Virginia Tech. And it's now down to a pick 'em. It was like a half today when we were on C2C. Now it's a pick 'em. And I think Vontech keeps getting money because – that crowd there is so insane, and the Enter Sandman and the whole deal. We saw North Carolina go down there and get their ass beat.
Yeah, I mean, I think Notre Dame beats them by double digits. It might be close for a half if Notre Dame is focused. Obviously, they have nothing to play for at this point. But that secondary, I don't see Braxton Burmeister with the week off. I don't see them being able to challenge Notre Dame's defense over the top. They're going to look to run the football. I don't think they can do it. And then there's predictable third downs. I already took Notre Dame with the half. I mean, I think I got them plus a half, if I'm not mistaken. I got to double check that. But I think they're plus a half on FanDuel. I like them. I think they win this ball game by 10 points or more. I mean, I'm not sold on Vontech with Justin Fuente in a big spot. Just not. I would never. I swore against it. I'm not doing it ever again.
Okay, well, I'm on Notre Dame as well, but I have to ask you. I mean, honestly, so I covered with Richmond against Vontech. West Virginia beat them. They beat Middle Tennessee. Right. They beat North Carolina. They play well in that stadium, Lane Stadium. I got to tell you, my problem is, and I got 60 seconds. My problem is that I think Notre Dame, their offense sucks.
They do to a degree. I think they can run on that front seven, though. That's the problem. I think their offensive line can wear down Vontech. I think they revert back to last year where they gave up 200 rushing yards per game. I think they're still a finesse team. I'm not buying in right now to that week one matchup against North Carolina. I think they just got them at the right time. They had all offseason to prepare, Scotty. So I think Notre Dame rolls if they're focused.
Mafia, do you like Notre Dame or Virginia Tech there?
I want to lean into Virginia Tech because I just think Notre Dame has been so disappointing lately, and they have the whole thing of who's playing quarterback, who's not. But I think eventually we're going to get Pine in there. I think the kid's out to prove something. While the rest of the team has nothing off to play for, this kid wants that job, so I think he's going to do a good enough job to pull him through.
All right, we got a lot of games to cover.
Yes.
Here with Joe, and we'll come back. We're going to hit Oklahoma, Texas, all of them, the Ohio State game, Michigan State, Rutgers, Arkansas, Ole Miss. Georgia, Auburn is going to be good. Penn State, Iowa, Michigan, Nebraska, the Alabama A&M game. You know, Carver High and I hate that Calzone quarterback. And that, we know that's not his name. We just jokingly call him Calzone. The A&M quarterback, I think Calzado sucks. We'll get into all that with Joe Lisi. Go for the 2 on a thirsty Thursday.
You may or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever panicked at realizing you've lost your lucky troll doll, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
go for the two. Joe Lisi's on per usual every week, giving us his college football action. The Red River obviously is huge. Oklahoma, Texas. Who do you like in that one?
I'm already on OU. I'm on OU minus 170 on the money line, so I don't get screwed by the three and a hook.
Did we lose
it? And I took them minus three. And I took them minus three in the hook, too, in parlays.
All right.
But I took.
All right, so I lost you there for a second, Joe. So you're on Oklahoma laying the three.
Laying the 3.5, and I also took them on the money line minus 170.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Mafia, are you on Oklahoma, or are you going to go dangerous with Texas and the upset?
I mean, the trend I've been going on for, you know, the last 3 or 4 weeks is always going against Oklahoma, but this spread isn't big enough. If this was, you know, maybe 7 or more, I'd try to get Texas on the backdoor cover, but I think Oklahoma is better than them, so finally they're going to cover a spread.
All right, Ohio State's at home against Maryland. They're both 4-1. Don't be fooled. After I saw what Iowa did to Maryland in College Park, Joe, what do you think Ohio State's going to do to them laying 21?
This is a fishy line. The fact that FanDuel has it at 20 and a hook, I'm telling you, I'm closing my eyes. I'm taking Maryland. I agree with you. Ohio State should win this game 70-3. But something tells me to take the points with Maryland. I don't love this game, but if I had to bet it and I would bet it in a parlay, I wouldn't bet it straight because I just don't trust either team, but I would take the 20 and a hook. I would take Maryland with the points.
I'm laying it. Mafia, what do you think?
I'm laying it. You know, 2 weeks ago I would have been on Maryland. They had some nice covers. They had some tough games where they were scoring a bunch of points. Ohio State was scrambling, but after they got shellacked by Iowa and Ohio State went and beat down on Rutgers, I'm going to go with Ohio State here.
Michigan State is at Rutgers, 5-0, laying 5.5. I was really disappointed, Joe, in Rutgers' performance at home against Ohio State. I guess I'm done with them.
Yeah, I just, you know, they overexceeded themselves. That was just a bad matchup at the wrong time. And Ohio State not looking good. They just took out their frustration on Rutgers. But, Rutgers has played Michigan State fairly tough. The only problem was that the last few meetings they were catching double digits. Now they're catching 5. I sort of lean to Michigan State to roll in this one.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Arkansas, Ole Miss in Oxford. Ole Miss laying 5.5. I'm surprised at that number, to be honest with you.
They lost this game 33-21 last year. Arkansas intercepted Corral 6 times. I just think that Arkansas is worn out after back-to-back games with A&M and last week with Georgia. They go on the road. It's a speed team. Better quarterback is Corral. Faster offense. I'm going to roll the dice. The fact that it's under 7, I'm leaning. I like Ole Miss here.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I went with Arkansas.
It's a tough game.
What do you like?
Yeah, obviously a tough one to pick given the performance of both these teams last week. They were just ugly on both sides with big time performances, you know, big time opportunities for them to show that they're up on the rise. I'm leading with Ole Miss, so being at home and the fact that Arkansas leans more on the run game for the offense. Ole Miss likes to throw it to the air. I think they're going to be a little too quick.
I mean, they played Georgia, Joe, and got spanked. And I think everyone that plays Georgia is finding out how good they are. I think this is a lot easier game for them, to be honest with you. I think they were for real, what they did to A&M, and then all of a sudden they get slapped in the face and punched in the throat. I think they're going to respond and show up. We'll see what happens. Vandy in Florida in the Swamp, it's 39, but God, is Vanderbilt awful.
Yeah, I mean, if Florida doesn't cover this number, they have major issues. Major issues. I mean, this is a game they should roll. Typically, Vanderbilt plays Florida pretty tough. They have covered in recent years, but this, they don't have any offensive weapons. UConn abused them for basically almost four quarters before they won it in the last second. Emory Jones should have a big day. The running game should have a huge day. They got to cover this 38.5. I don't love it, though, but I would if Florida doesn't cover, there's major problems for the Gators.
I'm laying it. Georgia and Auburn at Auburn. Georgia's laying 15.5. I got it at 14 when it opened up, Joe.
Well, I got it at 14.5, I got it at 15.5, and I got it at 16.5 on Auburn. I really like Auburn here. Georgia's won four straight, right on the number of 16.7 points per game. Auburn's converting 51% of third downs. I know he stinks, but he's a hot quarterback in the sense of confidence with Bo Nix playing at home in a rivalry game. I'll tell you this. I don't care if Stetson Bennett starts. I don't care if JT Daniels starts. Both of those players on the road in a big spot scare me, and I'm a Bulldog fan. Georgia wins, but Auburn covers that number.
Yeah, I like Georgia. Their defense, to me, I think they'll mess with Nix or whoever the hell they put in there. I know they've been flipping quarterbacks. Mafia, who do you like there?
I like Georgia. I've never liked Nix. I think Auburn gets a lot of, you know, recognition just because of the name. I don't think they're as good a team as people give them credit for. That defense is going to eat them alive.
Boise at BYU at Edwards. BYU laying 6. I got it at 3.5 when it opened up, Joe.
Well, you could get it at 8.5. I think BYU abuses them. I'm not sold on Boise. We talked about this on College Football Full Circle in the summer. I think they're just a glass house now. They are a shell of what they used to be. They're giving up 200 rushing yards per game. The physicality of BYU's offensive line completely, to me, is going to wear them down. They're going to run at will on Boise in this ball game.
Wake laying 6 at the Carrier Dome against Cuse. I'm on Wake.
This is the Carrier Dome, Scotty. Crazy things happen. Look at Malik Willis. They're catching points. I just hope Wake wins, but I got to be honest with you. It wouldn't shock me if Syracuse covers this number. I don't like this game in any way. I was on Louisville against Wake last week. But I would suggest a no play, or if you want to play it, I hate to tell people that, but take Syracuse.
Yeah, I don't trust Syracuse at all. I think they're going to beat them by more than a touchdown.
I hope so. I hope you're right.
SMU Navy in Annapolis. SMU's laying 13.5 against the Middies.
They can't stop the run, and I think Navy steps up here. With 13.5, I think they cover this number.
Me too. Penn State at Iowa, that's the game of the day, in my opinion. It's not Alabama and A&M. It's the Nittany Lions and Hawkeyes at Kinnick. Iowa laying 1.5. I went high risk with Penn State. I said today to Mr. Daniel, the voice of the Hawkeyes, that the Hawkeye defense is, that secondary is an NFL secondary. I mean, they're all like so versed and experienced and seniors, and they had 6 picks last week or in the Maryland game. I just think that it's a very scary pick to take Penn State, to be honest with you, and that's what I did, but I think I might regret it.
Well, I'm with you. It's one of my best picks for the weekend. The way I break it down is this. They lost by 20 last year. Last year was an aberration to me. I look at this game. Sean Clifford, to me, is the best quarterback in this matchup. He's battle-tested games against Auburn and Wisconsin on the road. He's not going to be phased. I have the potential best player on the field, to me, Jahan Dotson, the wide receiver. And then on top of that, I put up Penn State secondary with Brisker and Porter right up there with Iowa. I need to see Spencer Peters do it in a big spot. And to me, I got three out of the 5 checks in my favor. I'm rolling with Penn State. Got them plus 2.5 at the start of the week, and I have them plus 116 on FanDuel earlier in the week on the money line. I think they win the ball game outright.
So I'm on Penn State as well. Mafia, who do you like?
I like Penn State. I know it's going to be tough on the road in Kinnick. I know they, you know, owned them last year in this game, but I think Clifford's gotten a year older and a year better. You both have such great defenses. It's going to be hard to score points on either side. And if you're going to, you know, scratch things out, I'm going to take the better quarterback, the better receiver in Penn State with Clifford and his guys out there.
All right, Michigan, Nebraska, and Lincoln. I'm on the Wolverines here, laying 3. I just think they're flat out more physical and better.
Yeah, I don't like this game because Nebraska, obviously, I think has the quarterback advantage. The fact that it's under 3 now does concern me a bit, but I would take Nebraska. I think Adrian Martinez has a significant advantage over McNamara. It's back-to-back road games for Michigan. That scares me. Scott Frost put up 56 last week. He needs a big game. I don't count that last week over Northwestern as a big game. He needs to pull out all the stops. We'll see if he can do it. But 2.5 at home, I sort of like them, plus the 132 on the money line as well.
I think Michigan runs the ball down their throat. Mafia?
I agree with that. Scott Frost has been disappointing because he's got that team. I know Harbaugh has been disappointing at times as well with Michigan, but I think they just have a much better talent in this game.
LSU, Kentucky, and Lexington, Joe. UK laying 3.
Don't like the game. Their big play wide receiver, Josh Ali, is out for 2 weeks. That'll hurt them. Wandale Robinson's in. He's dominant. I think, I'll tell you this, I would lean to Kentucky, don't love the game, but my best play, and I already took it, is 51.5 on the total over, and I got it, they dipped it earlier in the week. I took it Sunday night at 51.5, got down lower at 50.5, I put it in a parlay, couple parlays. I like the over, 51.5. I think LSU's able to score, I think Kentucky's able to score. This game sails over the total, so I lean to Kentucky, but my best bet is the over.
Alabama and A&M at College Station at Kyle Field. I'm on Alabama. It's whatever. I got it at 17.5. It's 18 now unless I'm crazy.
No, this is my best bet of the weekend. I love A&M. I'm totally contrarian.
They're crappy quarterback.
I don't even think they put the football in his hands, if you really want to know. Texas A&M's lost 8 straight by 33.2 points per game. They've been abused. 22.3 points per game. They've been abused by Alabama. The only way they can win or make it close is if they run with Isaiah Spiller. They're averaging 5.2 yards per carry, holding opposing offenses to only around 3.5 yards per carry. I think that's the recipe. They run it. The fact that it's in Kyle Field, 110,000, and then that's the football perspective. The other perspective is last week you saw the public jump in. Oh, Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss has a shot to knock off Alabama, and there was basically 50-50 money in terms of the handle, and they all got burned. And now you see the big number with Alabama. 90% of the public is backing Bama in a big way. I don't like that. I'm taking A&M. I'm closing my eyes. I probably won't even watch the game because I don't want to be disappointed. But I really like A&M. I think they find a way to cover the 17.5.
I don't think they can run the ball on Alabama at all. San Diego State laying 19.5. I got 30 seconds, Joe, against New Mexico in San Diego.
Yeah, I think they roll. I would lay the wood with San Diego State, the Aztecs.
Mafia, really quick, going back to Alabama, what do you think happens in that game?
If Alabama's beaten them down before, they're going to do it again. They're going to try to shut down Spiller. Saban's going to make the quarterback try to beat them, and he's not going to.
All right, Joe, great stuff. Enjoy all the games. I'll catch up with you next week. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight, brother.
Love it, brother, anytime.
All right, Joe Lisi, go for the 2. Check him out every day on college football and pro football shows. Badass, 12 to 2. I think I got that right. Anyway, all right, Joe, good seeing you. We'll be back to wrap it up from New York.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
What game didn't I hit tonight? Honestly, I hit the college football games, both of them, both ways. Coastal Carolina winning, covering. Houston winning, covering. NFL, Rams winning, covering, the Rays over the Red Sox. I mean, honestly, I even gave you the Red Wings over the Penguins 4-2 in preseason NHL. Hit that Grizzlies over 217. I mean, honestly, tomorrow, Temple, Cincinnati, Charlotte, FIU, Stanford, and Arizona State in college football. There's 4 baseball games I mentioned tomorrow They are all day long. They started two White Sox Astros game two. Astros are up 1-0 in that series. And then after that, it's Braves Brewers game one in Milwaukee. After that, it's Red Sox Rays game two. And then Dodgers Giants at 9:37 Eastern, game one in San Francisco. I'll be back on Tuesday. I'm not on Coast to Coast or on the bench tomorrow night or Monday night. I'm going to Pittsburgh to the Steelers-Broncos game. I'll see you in Pittsburgh at Heinz Field. If you're having a kick-ass tailgate party, tweet me. Whatever you got to do, DM me, whatever it's called, message me. I mean, whatever the hell it is. I'll be in the Steel City if you want a party. Let's get it on. I'll see you at the Broncos-Steeler game Sunday. Hopefully the Steelers can turn their fortunes around. Get all my plays in college and pro football at PharrellOnTheBench.com. Everything is there every day. Get in on it. What are you waiting for as I continue to rake money for everybody? I'll see you on Tuesday the 12th at 4 Eastern on Coast to Coast. Good night.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.